So when you look at what the legislature has to do, they only have to do one thing, and that's pass a balanced budget. Hopefully they can do it in their regular session. And for those of you who don't know, the legislature meets for 140 days every 2 years. There was a drafting error in the Constitution. They were only supposed to meet 2 days every 140 years, but we're stuck with what we got. But it's gainful employment for all of us on the stage. The good news is that the current budget is about 8.1%, or somewhere around $9 to $11 billion larger than our previous budget. We also have significantly more money in our state's rainy day fund. So we have money to do things, to put into programs, to put into priorities. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, in the past few sessions, and Freddie knows this well, the legislature has faced a lot of challenges in terms of balancing a budget with, somewhere between an $11 billion shortfall, I think, in 2003 and a $9 billion shortfall in 2009, and, how they balance out what services they want to fund. Is a difficult proposition, especially when you're talking about the size of the budget that we're dealing with. So this legislature is a little unique. We've got a new Speaker of the House. Joe Strauss decided not to run for re-election. He'd served for five sessions for 10 years. So the House unanimously, I believe, there might have been one that didn't vote, but I think it was unanimously, elected Dennis Bonin from outside of Houston down in Angleton as the new speaker. He is a relatively young member. He's 46, 47 years old and has spent the vast majority of his professional life, I think he was elected when he was 23, to the Texas House, but is one of the savviest, smoothest political operators that I've had the privilege of working with. He knows when to twist arms, when to put a little sugar on things, and how to move legislation, or in many cases, how to kill legislation. And with a new speaker comes the opportunity to appoint new committees. When you look at Health and Human Services and in the House, we've got a new chair of the Public Health Committee, and Sinfronia Thompson, who's a 80-year-old, 40-year member, I believe, of the Texas House, who's down here in Houston, and a relatively new member from Wichita Falls, James Frank, who's chairing the House Human Services Committee. Relatively new committee appointments throughout the entire House. There's generally been about a third of the House that turns over every election cycle. So as one of my dear friends and former colleagues used to say, you've got a lot of members of the legislature, the seven physicians excluded, that don't know what side the appendix is on, and half of them think that estrogen is a chapter in the Old Testament. So when you, again, think about, dealing with health policy and visiting with folks that have those beliefs, it can be a bit challenging. The good news, again, there's more bipartisanship, not to pick on the Republicans, but they got their butts kicked in the election cycle. The Democrats picked up 12 seats in the House. I don't think anyone in Austin thought that they could pick up more than six or seven, but it put a focus on the fact that elections matter, and the issues that they ran on were largely public education. The Democrats ran on public education, health care, which has influenced some of the conversation this election cycle, and it has forced the House to be more bipartisan because there's a closer margin in the Republican-Democratic breakdown. One of the things that I know probably drives Steve nuts, because he has to review all of the bills and resolutions that come through, but this year there were over 7,400 bills and resolutions that were filed. That is a lot of legislation that was filed to try to get through that, addresses things from healthcare to public ed, criminal justice, transportation, you name it. They've filed something on it, including one of my personal favorites, making breakfast tacos the official state food of Texas. But by and large, This session's overriding theme has been an emphasis on school finance, property tax relief, and Hurricane Harvey. Everything else, especially in healthcare, has been everyone trying to fight to get out of that box, to try to make their issue or their idea more important than those other 7,476 bills. And it has been a big challenge on the healthcare side. And one of the reasons, and I would argue, this is the next slide. When it comes to healthcare in Texas, there has been very little discussion around things that a lot of people ran on in the election and a lot of people care about, certainly from the hospital side and the physician side, on coverage expansion, whether that's Medicaid expansion, looking at new opportunities to provide coverage for those that fall out of the ACA expansion or that lack affordable coverage options in the private market. The state budget cycle this time around, despite having the $8.1 or between $9 and $11 billion in additional state revenue, at least in the current budgets that were debated yesterday and are being voted out of the Senate today, or Senate Finance Committee today, put more money into our healthcare programs. In fact, the legislature cut $1.2 billion in state GR going into healthcare, and some of that was a reflection of a higher federal match that we got for Medicaid, and it allowed them to shift dollars to other programs. And some of it's just on purpose. It's a way that we have balanced the budget the last several years around underfunding our Medicaid program.